Okay, if you brought your Bibles, go ahead and get your Bibles out. There's a couple passages that I'd like to read all together. The whole theme for our luncheon, not just to celebrate Mother's Day, but just to celebrate, again, like I said earlier, being a girl, being a woman, being part of the body, and what the Word has to say about some of the women that we don't hear that much about. Actually, because there's really not that much written about them, but there's a whole... I think there's a whole lot that we can learn from them. So we're going to just look at a couple different passages, and I'm going to open this up in prayer before we begin. Let's pray. Father God, we just gather around your word, Lord, just as girlfriends wanting to study together and participate together, that you would use your word, Father, to sharpen us, to show us areas, Lord, that we're weak in, that we need to be on guard about. Maybe areas that we haven't even thought of before, Lord. Just bring the message together in such a way, Lord, that it would meet the needs that are in the hearts of the ladies today, Father God, that only you can see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I wanted to look at the women who were with Jesus. So let's go ahead and start. The theme for the luncheon was from Mark 15. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark 15. And what I would love today is I would like the ladies to just stand up, those that feel really confident about their voice and that they have a nice loud voice, and they could actually read the scripture so that we can read it together. Because it just doesn't have to be coming directly from me, but we're going to read it together, and some of the ladies in the congregation can read as well. So we're going to look at Mark 15, just two verses, 40 and 41. Who would like to read that, that has their Bibles and can stand up with a nice strong voice this morning? Okay, go ahead and borrow, that'd be great. Okay, so that's kind of what we're looking at today, and we're going to just look at this in a couple different passages, but there were also some women looking from a distance were very familiar with Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of James the Less, but it says, I like this, there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. So if you've ever been to Israel, you have the Sea of Galilee, that's where a lot of these women were from Galilee, and then you have to actually go up to Jerusalem. And that's why in the Psalms it's called the Songs of Ascent, because as they would go to Jerusalem, they would ascend these hills, and they would walk up these very, very windy hills. And if you've ever taken a tour, you're in these big, huge buses, and the roads are about this little, and you literally feel like in those big, huge buses that you're going to go right over the side, and they're whipping around these corners and stuff. I see a nodding head, so you know what I'm talking about. But that's why they're called the Songs of Ascent. As they were going up to Jerusalem, they're going up to the high place, which is Jerusalem. So Galilee was down low. So that's where these ladies are from Galilee. So let's go ahead and look at another passage. Let's look at Matthew 27. They're all going to be very similar, but I want you to see that they're all over the place here. 27, 55, and 56. Who would like to read that for me? Someone that, like Amparo, that can stand up, that has their Bible and can read out loud. Okay, great, Pat. 55 and 56 of chapter 27. Right, the sons of Zebedee. Okay, great. All right, let's go to Luke 23. I hope. Great. Acts 1:14. Thank you. Acts 1:14. Very good. Excellent. So kind of we see women ministering to Jesus. And so that was the whole theme of this. Who were these women? We know some of them that are more famous. Okay, so what do we know about Mary Magdalene? You guys participate with me. What do we know about Mary? Okay, maybe a prostitute. All right. What else about her? She was one of the Marys that poured out the oil and wept. Okay. Did you guys hear that? So Mary Magdalene, how many demons did she have? Said she had seven demons. She was the one that found Jesus, poured the oil on his feet, wiped her feet with her hair and tears. And so, she's kind of one of the more... vibrant colored women that we have. But I think there was just a lot of other women that were there, because when you think about Jesus and the disciples as they traveled those 3 years that Jesus had his ministry, I mean, somebody had to do the wash, and somebody had to do the cooking, and somebody had to do the cleaning, and someone had to pay for it. And who were those people? And I think a lot of those we read in here are the women. And so I want you to consider yourself being one of God's women, one of the women for Jesus. Now, this is something that I do, and I don't know if you guys do this, but I try to put myself into the time of Jesus. Like, where would I have been? What would I have been doing? Where would I have met him? And the thing that's amazing is as you read through here, I was reading through some of the miracles that Jesus did, and one when he took the loaves and the fish and blessed it. How many extra baskets were there? 12. After everybody was fed. And how many does it say that were fed, actually? Okay, it said 5,000 men, but they believe that they didn't even count the women and the children, because they just counted men back then, because they didn't value women very highly in that culture. So you have 5,000 men, which means most of them had wives, and then there was children. So, I mean, just think of the thousands that were fed from these two little, the miracle of the fish and the loaves. But there was 12 baskets left over. What do you think happened to those 12 baskets? Well, I have a feeling it was those other women that took care of those baskets and maybe packaged them up, maybe sent home, food with everybody that was leaving or had a long journey. It says that these other women, that they ministered not just to Jesus, but to the disciples as well. And I think to myself, I would hope that I would have been one of those women. Now, one thing I think that we can tell about them is that they didn't have the cares at home where they had to stay. Some of the moms, like the brothers... the children were grown already. So there's a season in time when you need to be at home with your kids, right? So those, probably the young mommies weren't there. Okay, they were tending the children. But there are some of us that are getting to the age, not myself included, no, I'm just kidding, but myself included, but getting to the age where the kids are grown. And then you're like, okay, now what? Now what do I do? If you were one of those women, what would you be doing at that time? These women, they wanted to be close to Jesus. And I think out of all the things, that's what kind of, when I start thinking about those women, they wanted to be the women that followed Jesus, that listened to his words. And it's pretty awesome, I think, that Jesus called the women his friends as well. There was an intimacy, a friendship that they had, loved by a man with no strings attached, which is kind of hard for a lot of us to understand, who don't know Jesus Christ personally ourselves. What is that like to actually be loved by someone just for who you are? You know, problems and all. As my grandma used to say, she loved the Bible because it's warts and all. It shows you everything about people. There's no perfect people in here. But I think of these women, they don't have names. It could just be like all of us. What if this whole group here, we were the women that followed after Jesus and just wanted to care for him? And wouldn't you have just been blessed like to wash his robe or to, you know, clean his sandals or to make a dish? You know, we all have those favorite dishes that we prepare for our families, usually around the holiday times. There are certain things, and you know, we only make it a certain way, and our kids only like it a certain way, and all of us girlfriends, we like to exchange recipes, but we usually leave out one thing. And what is that one thing? The secret ingredient. The secret sauce, or the, you know, you give them the whole recipe, but you leave one thing out because you know what? You know it's that little ingredient. And so they make it and they say, you know, it tasted good, but it just didn't taste like yours. And you go, aha, it's because I didn't give them that secret ingredient. But you know what? I think there was something about being next to Jesus. And that's the kind of woman I want to be. And I want you guys to be that kind of woman that just want to be where Jesus is. And Jesus says that he gathers around the believers. When we pray, when we gather together at an event like we're having right now, you know, the Holy Spirit's here. And if you're a believer, you want to be with other believers because it's iron sharpening iron. It's relationships that are based on the Word of God, where all things are equal. It says that there's no Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female in heaven. It's just a playing ground that's all level. Isn't that amazing? I mean, as women, I think that's very, very hard for us to grasp because our whole lives, we're always looking at everybody else, what everybody else has, what everybody else is doing, and are we in the right spot, and are we doing the right thing, and are we associating with the right people, and are we, you know, are we friends with the right people? Are we dating the right people? Are we marrying the right people? You know, are we living in the right neighborhood? Do we have the right kind of jobs? Do we get the right kind of education? You know what I'm saying? We're always comparing. But with Jesus Christ, it's a level playing field. It's all the same. No stops or barred. We can be as close to Jesus as we want to. Nothing stops us except ourselves. Nothing stops us except our lack of desire or whatever we want to call it. But we could be just like one of those women that are that close, that were that close to Jesus, that got to physically be there and touch him and feed him. And, you know, do you think about, like, what was his favorite food? You know? I mean, he was so gracious to the women that, you know, he probably had a favorite dish out of all of them, and they were all good. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just, like, pick one out and say, oh, she's the best this or she's the best. You know, he loved everybody. Everybody felt loved by him. That's why they wanted to be near him. And I think as women, there needs to be some kind of a fragrance. We need to have some kind of a secret sauce on us that attracts people to us in a spiritual sense. There should be something about us that's just a little bit different that someone says, you know, I want to be their friend. I don't know why. Now, as women, I know we've all in our minds, and I don't care, it's from the youngest, from, you know, say age 4 all the way on up to, you know, 84. You get this thought in your mind, I want that person to be my friend. Have you ever had that thought? And I'm going to do whatever I can to make that person my friend. And I mean, you would tell a joke, or you would do something, or whatever it took to get, because that you're going to make that one person your friend. Has anyone ever had that experience that you want to make somebody a friend? Am I the only strange bird amongst us all? Okay, I mean, true confessions, you know. But you know, that's that. We need to be like Jesus. If we, instead of wanting to have this other friend, if we want to be friends with Jesus, then that's what attracts. Because Jesus inside us is like a light. And people are like moths, and they're drawn to the light. They don't even know why sometimes. Do you think a moth knows really when you flick the light on why it's drawn there? I don't think it even understands that. It's just nature. And supernaturally, you guys have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're saved. And people should be drawn to you. And if you're repelling people, you know, you need to get a new sauce. You need to get a new scent. You need to refresh yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you are drawing others to you. So as I was looking through scriptures, I thought about this one passage, and I want us to read it together. And this one I will read to you. It's in Romans 12. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Romans 12. Starting at verse 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will reap burning coals upon his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And as I read that passage, I just thought of these ladies, these women that loved Jesus and ministered to him and the disciples. They didn't have this to read. They didn't have Romans to read, but they were actually living that out. And if you think about what they demonstrated, this is what it was. They were serving. And why were they serving? Because Jesus had done what? Okay, Jesus had placed it upon their heart. But what gives you the desire to do something for Jesus? Okay, the Holy Spirit, but you okay, there we go. There we go. His love. And so those were the three things I thought. I thought of, they had experienced Jesus' love, they had experienced Jesus' forgiveness, and they had experienced Jesus' friendship. So those three things are the key. And we're just going to look at scriptures real quick. And I want someone to read this. John 15:13. I need you to stand up and read it loud. John 15:13. Okay. Greater love has no man than this, that you would lay down your life for your friends. So of course you say, oh yeah, I would lay down my life for my friends. But you know what? Would you really? I mean, we would barely do it for our children. I mean, we would. You know, some of them are questionable, but for some of them we would. No, I'm just kidding. But Jesus paid the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. He laid down his life for us. So even though he hadn't laid down his life yet, these women still believed, right? Because they had him in person. They experienced the love of Jesus, and it transformed their lives. It took them away from the comforts of their home. It probably drained their bank accounts. You know, I mean, these men traveled around. I mean, the money had to come from somewhere. I think some of these ladies were self-employed. Well, we know Mary Magdalene was self-employed, but I mean, there was other ladies out there that had businesses that supported, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we don't know where the monies came from. We know that Mary and Martha, the two sisters, and Lazarus, that they had a lot of money, right? And Jesus stayed at different people's houses. And, you know, I think a lot of those people, they just slept outside. They didn't have, you know, maybe there was a place that people would open up their house for a few of the special disciples and Jesus. But, you know, these women had to stay somewhere. They were good friends, not just with Jesus, but with each other. You know, do we need good friends in this life? You got to have friends. And it says if you don't have friends, you need to be friendly, and then you get friends. And so you have Jesus, who's the perfect friend, who never falls asleep on you when you want to talk about something. He never tells you you look fat. He never, you know what I'm saying? It's not about any of that stuff. He just loves you for you on the inside. You know, and girlfriends are like that too. They can look past all the stuff on the outside and look to the inside, and they see, wow, she loves Jesus, and she's my friend. And that's the common denominator in the body of Christ. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different situations that we've grown up in and been through. And you know what? And a lot of it is junk. And it's very sad that all of us as women have had to deal with those kinds of situations. But you know what? In the Lord, that's behind me. And I'm moving forward in Christ. My choice. My freedom. The liberty I have in Christ to let the things go that have been done to me, that have been allowed to happen to me, and I'm never, ever, ever going to be able to figure it out. I just move forward because I know that I know that I know that Jesus loves me, that he died for me, and that he's my friend, and that he's given me forgiveness. I think these women were so drawn to Jesus because of what he had forgiven them for. Think about all the things that the Lord's forgiven you for. I was talking to a woman last week, and she was sharing something with me, and she had no shame over this thing that would just have crushed me to the core, that I thank God that I didn't have to go through. But it was very flippant with her, and I thought, you know what? She says it flippantly, but I know, according to the Word of God, that our shameful deeds are shameful. And deep down, we're sickened over the things that we've said and done and been and participated in. But you know what? In the Lord Jesus Christ, those things are behind me. And I can freely minister and freely love because I have forgiveness. If I didn't have forgiveness, I don't know where I would be. I would just be, I'm bad enough with forgiveness. You know, I would just be a miserable wretch. And I was a miserable wretch. And now I'm saved, and the Lord has forgiven me. And I can walk in that, but it's my choice. It's my choice to wake up in the morning and say, I choose Jesus, and for him to be my friend, than all the other things that have come before me. It's my choice. It's my choice. It's my choice not to play the computer in my mind of that conversation or of that situation over and over and over. It says to renew your mind with the washing of the word. So I need to wash my mind with the word to renew those old computer tapes that are in there, or videotapes or CDs or whatever you call them now, because we've just come so far. Okay? So what we want to do is we want to think about Jesus' love, Jesus' forgiveness, and Jesus' friendship. Oh. That was kind of a nice tune. Are you a friend with Jesus? Is he your friend? Can you call him a friend? The only way you can call Jesus your friend is if you've truly asked him to forgive you of your sin. And that's when the forgiveness comes. And then after he forgives you and you're so free, you just want to love him. And the way we show that love for Jesus is how? Okay, your actions. Your service. How about the service to your family? Is that a very, do you get a lot of pats on the back for that? You know, when you clean your toilet, do people say, wow, Mom, that toilet looks great? And isn't it hard to do that sometimes? Isn't it hard to serve your family? As much as you love them, these children that came from you, this husband that God's given you, isn't it sometimes just like a bummer? To just do the laundry one more day, or to clean that dish, or do you ever go on like hiatus from all of it? Within days, it's a nightmare, right? But you know what? I think if you take those events, if you take those things that just seem so like they're not accounting for the kingdom whatsoever, if you do them in the right frame of mind, and I have to do this in my mind, I have to say, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to clean this bathroom for you. I'm just going to do this load of laundry. I'm just going to scrub my floor for you. I'm just going to make my refrigerator the cleanest that I can for you, because maybe someday you're going to go in there and look at it and I want it to be clean, you know? I mean, just think, if you literally were one of those women and it had been given you the job to wash Jesus's robe, because they had to be washed at some point in time, right? You know, wouldn't you have just washed it like to the best of your ability? Or given his shoes, his sandals to clean, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it was, if it was for, you know, and so you have to kind of think like, okay, Lord, you know what? I can't see you, but I know I have your Holy Spirit, and I know you've given me my children and my husband and my home, and I need to first practice hospitality within my own home to my own family, and then it goes out from there, right? So you know what? Next time you're doing something that you just... it's just making you crazy, you know? It's all about just changing the perspective inside our mind, correct? Now, take that to the workplace, okay? How many of you have a refrigerator where you work, okay? And how many of you would like to eat out of that refrigerator on a daily basis? I mean, some of them are pretty gnarly. What if you were to go into work and, like, clean the refrigerator, not tell anybody, and just do it? Would that, like, blow people's mind? Would they say, ah, who cleaned the refrigerator? Oh, it looks so good in there, you know? Especially with the swine flu out there, it'd probably be a very good idea. You know what I'm saying? Do something without anybody knowing. You know, it says we're not supposed to, the right hand's not supposed to know what the left hand is doing, or the left hand what the right hand's doing. We're not, you know, you just go in and do something, or for a girlfriend. Could you sneak into her house and do something for her that she's been not doing or not wanting to do, or has just told you, I just can't handle this at all. You know, those kinds of things, that's truly Jesus inside of you. Amen? How many of you have had that done by a friend? Okay, and how many have done it as a friend? Okay, you're the ones I want to know. Just kidding. I do think, let's go to Hebrews 10:17. We need to read the scripture so you guys can have some scripture. You'll forget what I say, but the scripture won't return void. Hebrews 10:17. Someone stand up and read it nice and loud. I can't really tell who has a Bible and who doesn't, and I certainly don't want to call on anyone if you don't have your Bible with you, but okay, there we go. Hi, Jamie. Thank you. What does he say about them? He will remember them no more. Is that a beautiful thing? For those to be dropped into the bottom of the sea, never to be resurrected again? I mean, for those of us that have done some horrible things in our lifetime, even if we haven't done them, but we've thought them, the word says that's just as bad, to think those things in our mind. For Jesus to say, I will remember their lawless deeds, their sin, I will remember it no more. Is that something to be excited about and to be happy about? Should that change us from the inside out because we've been forgiven? I think it should. I want it to change my life. I want it to change your lives. John 15:15. Who can read that for me? Stand up and read it nice and loud. Okay. 15:15. Okay, so there we go, that Jesus is saying, you know, you're not a slave, not knowing what the master is doing, but I have called you friend. He's called us as friends. You know, have you ever had a friend that, you know, every time you go over to their house, they're not home? Or every time they say, I'll call you back, they never do? Or they say, oh, I want to have coffee with you, and they never actually make it happen? And finally you think, you know what? I don't really think they want to be my friend. Oh, yeah, I'll meet you at such and such. They never show up. Oh, let's go to the movies. They're always busy. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we do that to the Lord, don't we? Aren't we all guilty of that? He wants us to spend time with him, and he gives us that opportunity, and yet we find something else that we would rather do. We would rather watch, that we would rather read, that we would rather do, instead of just spending that time with the Lord, because he is our dearest friend. How would you treat your dearest friend? How do you guys treat your dear? I know some of you are really great friends, and you treat your friends really well. That's the way we want to be treating Jesus. We want to be spending time with them. We want to be making that connection with them. And sometimes we're just not that good of a friend. And when you're not that good of a friend, what do to your friend? If you've hurt your friend or you haven't been there for them when they've needed you, what do? You apologize. And you do what? You make up for it? You change. You apologize. You say, I'm sorry. How many of you have ever had to say you're sorry to Jesus? You know, he shows you someone to minister to. I felt so bad the other day. I was in Walmart, and I just was not in the spirit at all. But I knew the Holy Spirit wanted me to go talk to this woman, and I didn't do it. And it was so horrible because she was on the phone. She had this child with her, and she was on the phone rushing around, and I heard her saying, well, how could I go to work today when I knew you were going to call the cops on me and they were going to come and take my kid? How do you expect me to be at work? How can I be married to a man like you? I mean, this is what she's saying loud in Walmart. And I'm like, oh, I don't even want to go over and pray for that lady. And that was wrong. I mean, I was there at that specific time. I should have went over there right then and said, you know what? I just heard what you said on the phone, and Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you right now? Don't you wish you had a pastor's wife that would do that? Doggone it, you have one that confesses her faults in front of you. Next time I hear her say that, I will do it. But, you know, you need to, there's just opportunities. Sometimes they're huge like a billboard, and you still turn your head and you go the other way. How horrible is that? Shame on me. Shame on you. You know? That lets our friend down. That lets Jesus down. Sometimes we think, you know, yes, Jesus is God, and God is our Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the Triunity, and all that. But you know what? There's a friendship level there where you just let him down. But does he forgive us? Did he know that was going to happen? He sees all things. He knows all things. But those situations happen to draw attention to the fact of, okay, Lord, I need to be walking in your Spirit a little bit more. I need to be attuning my ear so that I can talk to this person or invite that one or make a phone call or do an email or something to be the kind of friend, to be that light that the Lord wants you to be. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans 5 if you can for me. It says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, go ahead and turn to Galatians 5. Now think about that. While you were still in sin, he died for you. That's Galatians 5. Okay, now I'm going to read Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Now, actually, if you go on to read the rest, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And actually love, all these other things are just part of love. Joy, peace, patience. If you have love, these other attributes actually are included in the whole package. So in the relationship that Jesus had with these women, there was love there, and love demonstrated itself in the peace, in the patience, in the kindness, in the goodness, in the faithfulness, in the gentleness, in the self-control that they saw in Jesus, that they exhibited to each other. So that even when Jesus died on the cross, those women were still there. They watched him die. When they went to go put the spices and everything on his body, he was gone. Those women were still there. And then in the book of Acts, like we read in the very beginning, waiting for the Holy Spirit, those women are still there. They didn't go anywhere. They had been with the truth. You guys have had an experience with the truth. If you've come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be changing us. And sometimes it's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. I want to describe it in a very picturesque way. Let's say you have a shampoo and you're using it and you're washing your hair with it every day, all right? Well, after a while, don't you have to like change it up and change to a different shampoo? Because it just kind of gets the same old thing and you got to do something new going on. Or you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes in your walk with the Lord, like you just keep doing things the same way, okay? It's like you keep shampooing your hair. Let's say the shampooing would be Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, Tuesday night Bible study. Okay, well, those are all good things. We need all those things, but sometimes you need to kick it up a notch. Doesn't Emeril say that? What does he say? Bam! Or whatever he does. Sometimes with the Lord Jesus Christ and your relationship with him, you got to change things up a little bit. You can get so routine into, I always do it this way, and it gets stale and stagnant, and there's no freshness in it. And it's like you're eating the old manna. When the Lord wants to give you new manna, how do you figure out what that new manna is? How do you do that? I want to hear how you guys do it. When you get to that place in your walk where it's just kind of doldrums, where it's just kind of like same old, everything, da, 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 how do you take it to the next level? Wow, you guys are insightful. Come on, girls, I want to hear. I know some of you have taken it to the next level. Okay. That's very precious, okay. She says, I call Antoinette. That's a good friend. Okay. Oh, spend more time on your knees in prayer, okay? Pray. Pray more, asking the Lord for guidance, okay? Oh, fast with a friend. Excellent. Okay, so she prays for the Lord to fill her cup, overflowing. Okay, and so I think, oh, there was a hand back there. You step out in faith, okay. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So sometimes stepping out in faith, after we've prayed and asked the Lord to fill our cups, because I do believe you cannot give from an empty cup. When you give from an empty cup, that's when you burn out. When you give from an empty cup, that's when you have no fruit in your ministries. When you give from what you don't have. So you got to be pouring in. That's why it's important to watch TV, Christian TV. Not all stations, but there's a few good programs on there that you can listen to. Christian radio, Christian books. Yeah, praise and worship on your CD. Bible study. I mean, you know what you need. And when you start listening to more secular stuff than you are to godly stuff, you know, let that be your barometer. Let that be your barometer. You gotta fill your cup up. Okay, so then when the cup starts overflowing, you've filled it up, you've spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ doing what you need to do, prayer or fasting or, you know, reading the word or your devotion time. How many of you have this right here, the daily bread? Okay? This is for old fogey eyes. This is the large letter edition, which I absolutely love and I will not be without. You know, it's like the simplest thing. It's free. But there's so many, I mean, when you start reading this on a regular basis, and you can read all sorts of other ones, but you know, you got to do something for yourself, okay? You get your hair cut, you get your nails done, you get your eyebrows tweezed, you get your gray roots covered, you shave your legs, you shave your underarms, hopefully. You know, you do lots of things for yourself, okay? This is like one of the most important things, not this book itself, but I'm just saying, spending time with the Lord somehow, some way. And so you have to choose to use your time wisely. How many of you commute to work? Okay, so you're on the road for more than 15 minutes. Okay. How many are on the road for more than an hour? Raise your hand. Okay, all right. How many are on the road for at least a half hour? Raise your hand. Okay, so there's quite a few of you. Okay, how do you make the best use of that time? The fish, okay. Fish is good. That's your time with the Lord, okay. Okay. Okay, all right. Stay in prayer, okay. K-Wave, okay. Tapes. Chuck Swindoll, okay. There's some great, I mean, you know what? You have the best Bible teacher at Calvary Chapel Amarada. Okay, now that's said, because he is good. There's so many other great guys out there that you can listen to as well. You know, and so you're feeding your spirit. You're feeding your spirit. Nobody can do that for you. It's like eating, okay? You guys all look like you're eating okay to me. Okay, we all know how to do that. I know how to do that. But you know what? You got to take a step back and think about your spiritual food. You know, it can't just be Sunday morning service. It just can't. It just can't be, you know, once a week at women's Bible study. I mean, it's got to be on a daily basis. It doesn't have to be church every day, but I'm just saying, it's on a daily basis, you got to be feeding yourself spiritually. What are you doing to feed yourself? To become that friend, to become that woman that would have left whatever she needed to leave for those 3 years to follow Jesus. Their lives were not the same after that. They had the gift of hospitality. How many of you know women that actually have the gift of hospitality? You know, when you go to their house, it's just so comfortable, and they serve you, and there's, you know, I mean, you just feel at home. It's so wonderful. Now, some people don't have the gift of hospitality, but they can practice it. Can't we practice? You know, some of us may not sing very well, but if you come to service and you sing the worship songs, you actually get a better voice just by what? Practicing. Even though it's not really, we don't consider it practicing, but I'm just saying, just doing it over and over again. And so you open up your home, and you open up your life, and you open up your gifts, talents, and abilities. You know, I've known some of you for a very long, long time. And I know I've had a lot of people over to my house. I open up my house a lot. Just in this, let me see how many have been to my house before. Okay, that's quite a lot of ladies. Not everybody. I wish you could all come, but everybody, that's not going to happen. But let me ask you this. How many of you, I've been to your house? Okay, now why is that? Do you see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying because I'm just making the example of, you know what? We have to practice. We have to exercise. Sometimes we say, okay, well, it's when we get the new couch, or when we get the mold out of the bathroom, and when we clean the dishes, and who cares? A good friend comes over, and you know what? She doesn't look around and see the stuff. She just wants to see you and have a cup of coffee. And you know what? If she doesn't like you because your bed's not made, nah, just don't go in her room. You know? Have any of you ever had a nosy friend? Maybe you are the nosy friend. You know, you would never let them into your bathroom because they will open up every cupboard and they'll say, oh, that's the kind of medicine she takes, and closes it back up, or whatever the case is. You know, girls, we just have to love each other. We have to be friends with Jesus. If we're friends with Jesus, that helps us to be friends with one another a lot better. Because the more time you spend with Jesus, the more he shows you the things of your own self that you need to work on. And then you're not so busy looking at what everybody else needs to be doing because you're just worrying about yourself. Making sure that your walk with the Lord is fragrant and that you have that aroma that people are drawn to. Are people drawn to you? Ask yourself some questions. Are you one of those women that would have left everything to follow Jesus if you had the opportunity? Yeah, I think you would have. I think you would have. I think you love Jesus enough. I think that if you've experienced his true forgiveness, it makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference in the way you relate to people. So my prayer is if you don't have that relationship with Jesus, if you haven't asked him to forgive you for your sin, or if you're in a position where, you know what, I just haven't been a very good friend to Jesus, this is the time to come forward and confess your sin. And confess and repent, and then you just walk out the door and you are a free person in Christ. And I don't think that there would be one person that couldn't come up to the front and say, you know what, I want to spend more time with Jesus. I want to be a better friend of the Lord. I could kneel down and pray that, and I will, and I want everyone to. If we all come forward, now if you can't physically, just stay in your seat, but come forward, humble yourself, kneel down. No one's going to be looking at you. Kneel down and just say, you know what, Jesus, I want to be a better friend to you. I miss the time that we used to share together. I miss that intimacy. I'm longing for it again. I can sense that my cup isn't overflowing like it should be. Renew me. Renew me. Make me the person that you want me to be. Help me to be that bright light so that people are attracted to me. May Jesus be your secret ingredient. So when someone says, what's different about you? It's Jesus. It's not your new perfume or your new hair color or your new what. It's the Lord. And that would be what draws you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want you to be a woman of Jesus. I believe you are a woman of Jesus. But you know what? Even as women of Jesus that were with him, they still saw him die, and they still had to have that faith to believe that he was going to be resurrected, and then still have that faith that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. We got to operate in faith. We got to take those steps of faith. We got to enlarge our sphere of influence. Lots of people, it's a hard time for a lot of people right now. It's time to expand. And the way you expand is by what? Drawing closer to Jesus first. So why don't we do that? Just in obedience, and I'm not going to force anyone, obviously, but I'm just going to come forward, and I'm just asking for myself. I don't want you guys to ask for anyone else. Just ask for yourself, Jesus, can I be a better friend to you? Can you put that in my heart, Lord, that I want to love you more, I want to spend more time with you, that it's been dry, it's been old manna. I want it to be new manna. Just come forward, and let's pray that together, all of us. Father God, as we come before you and we humble ourselves, Lord, as women, we want to be those women of you, Jesus. We want to be women that follow you. We want to be women that love you. We want you, Lord God, to be our secret ingredient, that people are drawn to us, Lord God, because it's your Holy Spirit who lives in us. And Lord, just corporately and individually, God, we ask you for forgiveness. We ask you for just a renewing in our hearts and in our minds, Lord God, that we would want to spend more time with you, that our time with you, Lord, would be precious, that you would be such a dear friend to us, Lord God, that we could not let a day go by where we don't interact with you and worship you and read your word and read devotions and talk about you with our friends and email a good word, Lord, to a sister that needs it, Father, that when we hear people in places like Walmart and different places that are in crisis, Lord God, that our spirits would be quickened and that we would minister in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and not walk away from those because we're so busy. Lord, our lives are busy. They're so busy, Lord, but we've taken out this couple of hours to be with you, Jesus. And I feel like you have spoken to us, Lord. Draw us by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. You're so good to us, Jesus. You love us so much. And we just want to shower our time and our affection and our love and our devotion and our adoration, Lord God, at your feet and tell you how wonderful you are, Lord Jesus, and how we love you and how we fall so short, Lord God. But you're so precious, and you meet us right where we're at by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. You wash us afresh, Lord God. You take that blood that was shed on Calvary, Lord, and you just flow it over us again, Lord God, so that we can walk away forgiven and cleansed and purified and rejuvenated and renewed, and you recapture, Lord, our hearts with your great love, Lord God, that when we were still sinners, you died for us, Lord, and it's amazing, Lord God, what you've done for us, Lord, that we don't have to walk with guilt and with shame anymore, Lord God, that those things are forgiven. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your friendship, Lord God. May we be good friends to one another, Lord. May we look past what the world looks like on the outside, Lord God. May we look into the heart like you see, Father, and see beautiful women that want to be like you and that want to love you more. May we be a group of women, Lord God, as we gather together that other women are drawn to, that they see and they sense, Lord God, that there's something different in us. And it's because we want to be with you, Jesus. We want to be like those women that minister to you, Lord God. And we want to minister to you, Lord God, as we serve the children. We want to minister you, Lord God, as we work in the bookstore. We want to minister you, Lord Jesus, as we worship together. We want to minister to you, Lord God, as we gather together and make food for funerals and all the things, Lord God, that we do at this church. There's so many things going on, God, but it has to be from a full cup. Our cup needs to be full, Lord God, so that we don't burn out, Father. When the cups are full, Lord God, we're just giving out because you've given to us first. So may you fill our cups today, Lord. Every lady, Lord, that's desiring that in her heart, Lord God, may you fill our cups to overflowing, those beautiful teacups, Lord God, that we drank out of today, Lord God. May the power of your Holy Spirit fill those cups, Lord, to overflowing, spiritually speaking, Lord God, in our lives so that you can do a work, that you can change us, Lord God, so that we can change our workplace, Lord. Change us, Lord God, so we can change our families. Change us, Lord God, so that people in our neighborhoods would be drawn to us, Lord, and that we would be a bright light, and those moths would come to our light, Lord God, and that light is you, Holy Spirit, and that it would just flow out. It would flow out, Lord God, because you filled us up. So we thank you for your precious forgiveness. We thank you for your precious friendship, Lord. It is precious. And Lord, even the sisters, Mary and Martha, Lord God, that Martha got it right, that she went and she got that bottle, and she also, Lord, poured that alabaster on your feet. She did it too, Lord God, because she loved you. She was preparing you for your burial, Lord God. May we have been such in-tune women with you, like her, that we would have known really what you were talking about. A lot of people didn't know, Lord God. We want to be women that know. We want to spend enough time with you, Lord Jesus, so we know you. It's not just because this is how we grew up or because this is how we used to do it, but that it's fresh, Lord God. Give us fresh manna as we spend time with you, we pray. Fresh manna, Lord God, is our desire. We pray these things in your name. You're so good to us, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You're the great I am, and you're coming again. And you're great, and you're awesome, Lord, and you're lovely to behold. And Lord, your train fills the temple, God. And you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're holy and righteous and true, Lord. Your precepts are strong and sturdy. And you surround us, Lord God, with good things, Father. It's your mercy that draws us to repentance, Lord God. Your great mercy. Your tender mercies, Lord, are new every morning. And you surround us, Lord God. You're like a strong tower, and we run into you, Lord God, and we're strengthened. And we're protected, Lord, like a hen protects its chicks, Lord. You let us run underneath your everlasting arms, Lord God, and you gather us close. And we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you that you're the kind of Father that looks out for our best interests, Father. That you love us so much. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for your strong right arm, Lord, that moves mountains, Lord. May we walk in faith, Lord God. May you move mountains for us, Lord God, as we step out in new works that you have prepared in advance for us to do, Lord God, according to your word. Before the foundations of the earth, Lord God, you knew that this was going to happen today, that we were going to come forward, Lord God, that we were going to ask for your forgiveness, that we were going to ask for your refreshing and your renewal, for springs of living water, Lord, to drink from that fountain where we'll never thirst again, Lord God, and that we would offer that everlasting thirst-quenching water of supernatural life, Lord God, to all those around us. Go before us, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen.